The following talk was given by Father John Harden, July 14th through the 18th, 1999, Retreat for Men, sponsored by the Institute on Religious Life, Chicago.
First of all, thank you for coming for this retreat. In my prayers for several months before the retreat started, I thought before we have our first conference, I would just recommend a few things. Silence, as you know, is an essential part of the retreat. Unnecessary conversation would distract both the one who spoke and the one who listens. The retreat, as you know, is a time of concentrated prayer, the most important source of direction you get from the retreat is from our Lord Himself. By praying, spend as much time as you can in prayer, which also means before the Blessed Sacrament. As you know, during the retreat, it is customary to make a good confession. Confessing will be available for making a good confession. Also, I recommend that those who make the retreat do some writing. What you write is more surely remembered. Or you just think about in your mind. Each conference will have a theme. I'll try to concentrate on that theme during the 14 conferences that we have, beginning with this one. Our first conference will be on the providence of God. As you know, God, when He made the world, literally out of nothing, did not leave the world to shift by itself. God is as active, as involved in the world now, as He was when He brought the world into existence. God remains in the world, guiding everything, and what is everything, according to His own wise divine plan, as defined by the Church, by His providence. God watches over and governs all the things that He made, reaching from end to end with might, and disposing all things with gentleness, but also with strength. For all things are naked to His eyes. Even those things that are going to occur by the free action of His creatures, God foresees everything, including, I repeat, what choices we will make. This, in one declarative sentence, is what God's providence is all about. He watches over Him and governs everything. The Lord is everything. Our thoughts, our desires, things we say happen. Nothing ever happens with God. And He governs in such a way as to dispose all things with gentleness. They're all open to his eyes, even those things will occur by the free action of his creatures. This is omnified by the church. God is literally in charge of everything, including our thoughts. We make the thoughts, we do the thinking, but God knows what we are thinking and why he does not want us to think what is sinful. We have a free will. He allows us to misuse our freedom and do things which are contrary to his will. I would like to now read from Scripture one neat emphasis is to know that God's providence is part of God's dealing with the human race. I repeat, we have a free will, but God does not interfere with our freedom. He allows things to, as we say, occur or happen, which are contrary to his divine will. I would say the deepest mystery of our faith is, why does God allow us to sin? Only he really knows. We must say this. God allows us to sin in order to draw greater good mysteriously out of sins we have committed. In the New Testament, the Psalms, 150 Psalms, are all expressions of God's mysterious providence. In the New Testament, Christ was constantly teaching his followers not to worry, not to be anxious, because God is providing for all our needs. His most extensive teaching on divine providence occurs in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. We read what we have. The theme behind this long passage is trusting in God's providence. The apostle is writing Matthew chapter 6. That is why I'm telling you not to worry about your life, what you're going to eat, about your body, how you want to clothe it. Surely life means more than food, and the body more than clothing. Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they are? Can any of you, for all his worrying, add one single cubit to his span of life? Why worry about clothing? Think of the birds of the air, flowers of the sea. They never have to work or spin. I assure you, not even Solomon, all his glory, was robed like one of these. Now if that is, O God, clothes the grass of the field, which is today, and through to the first among, will you not be much more careful looking after you, you men of little faith? Do not worry. Do not say, what are we to eat? What are we to drink? How are we to be clothed? Is the pagans who set their hearts on all these things, your Heavenly Father knows you need them all. Set your hearts on His kingdom first, on His justice, and everything else will be given to you as well. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What are we being told? We're being told that God brought us into existence out of nothing. God chose to create us. He made each one of us different. He knows exactly what we need. God will always, always provide for our needs. What needs emphasis is that divine revelation tells us that the mystery of divine providence is a mystery indeed. We do not comprehend why God does what He does, but we trust, absolutely, implicitly trust His love of us, care for us, and God will never, ever, never be wanting in His care. He's also especially provide for eternal destiny in the world to come. Everything in our lives is governed by the providence of God. No one ever calls us up by mistake, nor says anything to us casually. The person may not realize what he is saying, but God mysteriously has a purpose, a divine, heavenly wise purpose, having us hear what we are told. In the New Testament, Christ was constantly teaching his followers not to worry, not to be anxious. Why not? Because God is providing for all our needs. The word providence, as you know, comes the verb to provide. Christ had just told the people they were to be detached from everything in this world. They are not to lay up treasure on earth. they are to set their sights on heaven. All of us. God knows exactly when we'll leave this world. We're not made for time, we're made for eternity. Nothing, whereas nothing, ever happens in our lives. Everything is part of the providence of God. But how important it is for us to see God in everything, as we casually say, that happens in our lives. People can do things, say things that are painful. They do things that are sinful. But God, what a statement. God has a mysterious divine purpose in allowing people to sin against us. Everything in our lives is constantly part of God's thoughts and His willing. And this applies especially to the experiences we have which are painful. We all hesitate, be exposed to suffering or pain. But God knows, He knows, we need both what is pleasant, what is painful in our lives. Consequently, in the less than 10 verses I read, only said five times, God tells us not to worry, not to be anxious. He is caring for us every moment of the day and night. We should be concerned only about one thing. That's why we're having this conference. All we need in this world, all we need is to know what does God want me to do. Then, with His grace, I do it. Everything else in life will pass away. Oh Lord, how we need to hear this. How we need to believe it. And there's no such thing as chance with God. How are we to live in the providence of God? Christ many times spoke explicitly, we should not worry about what we're going to eat, what we will drink, how we will be provided for, but we ourselves need to be reminded that God will provide for all our needs. Remember, we said before, the verb to provide is the foundation of the word providence. God will inevitably send us trials, difficulties. God will send us painful experiences. Why? Because we need them. Otherwise, we'll not know what it means to trust in God. Our hearts must be open always to the will of God. The most difficult thing we have to do in life is to trust God even when the experience we're having is contrary to all our human expectations. Anxieties will come, but I repeat more than once during the retreat, all anxiety in our life is meant to be a trial, a temptation. Worries will come, but must not give in to them. Believe me, 52 plus years in the priesthood have dealt by now with thousands of people. How we all need to totally, thoroughly, simply trust in God. We must expect to be tried. We must expect to be tempted. But we must never, for a moment, give in to the worries that beset us. I would like to read and reflect with you on the prayer of St. Claude Colombier. As you know, he lived a very short life, a Jesuit priest. Here's what St. Claude tells us to pray. Loving and tender providence of my God, into your hands I commend my spirit. We should do that every day. Loving and tender providence of God, into your hands I commend my spirit. To you I abandon all my hopes and fears, my desires and repugnances, my temporary and eternal prospects. Leave everything up to God. All given to worries, all given into anxiety. We may have fears that can keep us awake all night. There are persons and things in our lives we find difficult to cope with. We do not like to suffer. But God knows, He knows, we must suffer in this life. Our hopes can be tempted against. Our fears may drive us, as we watch them, even to despair. But we never give in. To you, we address our Lord. To you I commit the wants of my perishable body. Oh, how much we can suffer in our bodies. But the secret is to see God behind, beneath, within everything that is painful in our lives. God wants us to show our trust in Him, no matter how difficult or trying a person or an experience may be. We tell our Lord, to you I commit the wants of my perishable body. To you I commit the more precious interests of my immortal soul. For as long, I have nothing to fear, as long as I leave everything to your care. I've been a priest now 52 years. Have dealt with thousands of people. Some who have had trials that are humanly impossible to cope with. The secret and the purpose of this first meditation is we not give in to our worries. Hear it. Every worry we experience is a temptation. It is a temptation against our trust in God. Although my sins are many, my misery is great, my spiritual poverty extreme, my hope in you, my God, surpasses everything. My trust in your providence is greater than my weakness, greater than my difficulties, stronger than death. Over the years, I have counseled people who have had grave trials. The death of a young wife or young husband. An incurable disease. A tragedy that can, humanly speaking, cause a person to worry himself almost to death. But the secret, as you get worries, remember every worry is a temptation. And I repeat, every worry is a temptation. God sends us trials and difficulties. Why? To my trust in Him, that is the reason why God sends us trials. You're not to worry. I repeat, you're not to worry. We trust in God's providence. And as we know, the noun providence comes from the verb to provide. God will always, always provide for our needs. We make mistakes. We commit sin. But no matter what crimes we may have committed, we are to trust in God's loving providence is impossible to exaggerate the importance of a simple, childlike trust in God. This means many things. It means, first of all, recognize that I'm a man who tends to worry